For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Oh, my God. You guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The one and only.
Rich Eisen.
This ball is gone. Kike Hernandez.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Shohei Ohtani unloads a 3-run home run.
Today's guests: Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac, NBC Sports Bay Area reporter Matt Maiocco, actor Mila Kunis, Royals first baseman Vinny Pasquantino, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Oh yeah, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey, and more. We say hello to all of our podcast listeners who check us out every day, all 3 hours on the Rich Eisen Show podcast network with our friends at Cumulus, the latest show to drop a new pod is later today. Jim Jackson will be chit-chatting later on today. I believe his guest is C. Webb. Chris Webber is going to be with Jim Jackson. That's the latest one. T.J. Jefferson and O'Shea Jackson Jr. just dropped the latest episode of No Contest Wrestling yesterday with Swerve, right?
Swerve when I drive.
Okay, very good. And What the Football with Susie Schuster, Amy Trask with Rod Woodson, and then, of course, Overreaction Monday between Chris and I. Then we appreciate everybody taking in and any of the content that we put out there.
There's a whole lot going on, Rich.
We do have a lot going on today. We've got two information men coming up. What's going on in Pittsburgh with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson? We call our friend Jerry Dulac in for that.
Jerry.
And with the 49ers taking on the Chiefs in a rematch of last year's Super Bowl, when are we expecting Christian McCaffrey back? And there's some banged up wide receivers. What is going on with the 49ers? Matt Maiocco will join us on that. With the Yankees and the Guardians going at it in game number 3 later on this afternoon in the ALCS from Cleveland, and with Shohei Ohtani nearly hitting me in the back of my head with a baseball last night, with the Dodgers taking a 2-1 lead on the Mets, Vinny Pasquantino, Sasquatch himself, yeah, from Kansas City and the Royals organization will join us. He also wants to talk Jets. So there's that. And I booked Vinny, but T.J. Jefferson, the mother of your godchildren, is coming in today. Is that one way to say this?
Or, I think that's her most important title above anything else.
Mila Kunis, yeah, who is in the new film with Michael Keaton, Goodrich, that is in theaters tomorrow. She will be in studio. We've got a celebrity true or false for her.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll hit a lot with Mila Kunis. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number at all. Good to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. What's up?
DJ Mikey Diaz and D's Nuts is here. Good to see you. And TJ Jefferson. It just smells great in this studio.
How are
Cat's Tower Flowers? How are Carl Anthony Towns Flowers holding up? Day two?
They're still alive.
Day two?
You know.
All 47 Eagles Flowers, you know, and all 9... Cowboy Flowers.
We did count them. There are 47.
No.
The Eagles.
Because that's what, yeah, I mean. That's the score. The Lions beat the Cowboys.
I saw that the force that,
yes,
prepared this. They left a note on one of our social media.
Oh, did they really?
I don't remember if it was X or Instagram. And they're like, yeah, "That's our work." And I was like, "I wish you would have declined the sale."
I know they would not, because I'll be very honest with you. That looks quite expensive.
Yes.
I don't think Carl was asking for
very much.
Is there a discount when you buy 47 in an arrangement?
That's so disrespectful.
Nice. Very good. So that was yesterday. That reel is doing very well on our feeds.
Can we just delete that forever?
Rushing everywhere.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, kids.
Rich.
Yes. It's reunion week in the National Football League.
I know, right?
Well, I went to a reunion, so I love this.
It's just like that.
I'm into this,
Rich. You know what? You would. I think you would love reunions. You're the guy who just says, hey, you look great. Hey, do you remember me?
Oh,
hey,
you were here.
You were here.
That's what he was last
week. Last weekend, it was his 40th.
That's why I'm into this.
Wow.
I'm into the. I like what you got.
You like reunions.
I like where you're going.
Guy.
This is why I like. I'm the best guy.
Who looked the best at your 40th reunion?
Mike did. Well, what you talking about? I was wearing a white.
Well,
tangle.
I'll tell you what. It all starts tonight. Week 7 is the reunion week in the National Football League. It all starts tonight. Sean Payton and the Broncos are in New Orleans. And in case anybody forgets what Sean Payton looked like as the head coach of the Saints. There he is, right there. When, oh, no, wait a minute. No. No, that was Kevin James.
Oh, got to get those guys. Well,
there's
you
know. Calvin Johnson.
No, when he was doing
Jeff Hardy and the Marty
football. Jeff Hardy.
But we all remember so Sean Payton, man, he showed up. He showed up when Katrina damn near blew the city off the map.
Yeah.
And then the Saints got him and Drew Brees cooking, and then he won the Super Bowl in 2009. And I guess we can put it to the test that if he returns to New Orleans, he will never have to pay for a meal. I'm wondering what the reception tonight will be on Prime Video, which you can watch it right here on Roku through our portal here. And the Saints, once upon a time, 2-0. And guess what? They haven't won a game since. And they're 2-4. And Derek Carr is hurt, and Chris Olave is hurt, and Raheed Shaheed is out for the foreseeable future.
Sheesh.
And the defense just got kind of lit by Tampa, and the Saints are desperate for a win, and the Broncos are coming off of getting punked at home by Jim Harbaugh, and this is a big one for both teams. They need it. They can use it. Maybe the Saints a little bit more because starting 2-0 and being the best thing since sliced bread and 91 points and everybody's talking about Clint Kubiak, 91 points in two games. Who needs Sean Payton around here? Well, Sean Payton's coming back tonight and he wants a win in a short week. And that's one reunion game. Another reunion game that's going down this week. This is the week. I wonder if they did this on purpose because they knew Saquon was a member of the Eagles when the schedule came out. Did they put Sean Payton back in New Orleans to start the week, knowing that Saquon would go to New Jersey to go back to the Giants later
so.
In the week?
I love that.
They do that?
They definitely do,
you know,
have themes to games.
I'm wondering if they really did figure out, let's send Saquon back to the Giants after Sean Payton revisits New Orleans. That's a big one. Giants coming off of a stinging, nationally televised loss against Cincinnati after coming up with a big win in Seattle and the Eagles. I mean, talk about, you know, a win is usually the best deodorant and it normally changes moods, but not in Philadelphia. Oh. You know, normally, again, the behavior that Nick Sirianni has apologized for not once but twice since displaying it in the final throws of a win against Cleveland at home.
But a win, a game they won.
I was saying normally that behavior gets excused. Well, that's just Nick being Nick. You know, and when they lose, it's like that is not the comportment you want to see from your CEO of your on-field organization. You know, he's shaving his head like Private Pile, as I said, and then barking at some of the barking at some of the fans, and so normally that behavior gets excused in a win, but in a loss is normally where you're held to account to it, and he's held to account after a win. And that's how they go into the Giants. And Saquon didn't have much of a game against Cleveland. It was easily his least productive performance as an Eagle. So there's that. And then talk about a reunion game. The last game of last year. The league put the Kansas City Chiefs in San Francisco on Sunday. They are reuniting. Mm-hmm. And
it feels so good.
Well, it's entirely possible because the Lions play the Vikings earlier in the day. It's entirely possible that when the Chiefs take the field, they are the last remaining undefeated team in the National Football League. Or they're going to try and match the Vikings at 6-0. And I'll tell you, you know, the Niners are rooting for the Lions, I would think. because the Niners have already lost to the Vikings, and the Niners do have the Lions ahead of them after their bye when they're hoping to get some of their players back. I mean, they could be down to their third string running back. Isaac Garendo is a name that might have been picked up on many fantasy waiver wires this week. He might be playing in place of Jordan Mason, who's playing in place of Christian McCaffrey, and Ricky Pearsall might see his first action, and they may need him because of all the other wide receivers who are banged up there. And the Chiefs are coming in off a bye, and, you know, I am mandated. They would take my broadcasting card away if I did not mention how good Andy Reid is coming off of a bye week.
By the way, we can't have you get your card taken away.
I know that. Yeah. This just in, Andy Reid is really good after a bye week.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs are coming off of a bye and maybe a little healthier themselves. And
21-4 after a bye
week. Thank you,
sir. I was about to say, Chris, is this when we ask how
8-3 with the Chiefs?
And by the way, you know, he's not, you know, it's not 25 years of coaching. There used to be, you know,
a couple buys way back in the day
when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid. And so that's a reunion game. And then the league kind of stepped in this one, because when the Jets were given a week 7 game, certainly on Sunday night in Pittsburgh, they had no idea that this would be the game that Davante Adams would be reunited with Aaron Rodgers. But such is the case. And it's entirely possible that Russell Wilson might be reunited with a starting job.
Ooh.
How about that? And we'll talk about that with Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh in a second. But again, I know I've kind of harped on this in a way, and this is nothing to do with me and the Jets here. It's just amazing when you get two of the best to have ever done it together go their separate ways to two different organizations and then come back together where one of them is already playing. Unreal. And sure enough, you know, I mean, it's turning into a little bit of a sitcom right now, because Aaron Rodgers is a roommate, as he described yesterday, and how Adams came into town and where he is staying while he's in town at this point.
It was a frustrating Monday night, but a really my lift flew us moment call to hear his voice Monday night. Well, as I say, Tuesday morning, because it was almost 1 o'clock. And I got to see him on Tuesday yesterday. And then he's staying with me for the short term. So went right into some of the signals, and he was about 95%. His knowledge of the game is pretty extensive. Obviously, looks like he's drinking the elixir from the fountain of youth. As I watched some of his clips, it's been a strange 24 hours, but really fun to see my friend.
He's staying with him. By the way, mellifluous, big word alert.
Right.
It's
no idea.
Normally, it is associated with a voice, not a moment. But I guess this was his point, is that he heard his voice. That was the moment. Mellifluous. By the way, that's a word that's been ascribed to my voice many times. Isn't that correct, TJ?
Sweet or musical, pleasant to hear.
Well, he's got to be psyched and
jacked
up.
The voice was mellifluous and smooth.
Because they, you know, not to go all frozen on you here.
Uh-oh.
But they finished each other's sentences.
Sentences
or sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
That's what I was gonna say.
Hey,
look at you,
jinx again.
All right, yo, I'm a Pepsi. Pepsi.
Brockman gets that now.
Rich and I have toddlers.
Yeah, back in the day when we started, you made fun of me. But look who's all grown up.
Yeah.
Look who knows the Frozen soundtrack now, huh?
I mean, it's a pretty good movie.
Here's Olaf.
This is what Davante Adams was saying about Rodgers.
Well, I don't know yet. Well, yeah, we haven't played yet, so I don't know. He might not be as good as he used to be, so we'll see. But, no, serious. I mean, it's great just being back, being able to be with my guy. Like, first and foremost, just being able to spend time with him every day again is something that I put a lot of value on. So just having his company, but obviously having him as my quarterback again. I mean, he was part of why I am who I am and why I turned into the player, whether it's the cerebral approach, it's the, you know, the attention to detail, you know, just learning from him and watching him operate and just how dialed in he is at all times. I feel like that has a lot to do with how I ultimately ended up being you know, kind of functioning the way I do as a player.
Can't believe it's happened, man. It's kind of wild. There he is standing in front of the jet step and repeat, talking about being with Aaron Rodgers. They pulled it off. It actually happened. And it's going to go down against the Steelers in a must-have game for the Jets, going down to fall to 2-5, having already lost to Denver, and then maybe now losing to, not well, 2-5, they would have lost to Pittsburgh. These are two teams they might have to chase down in a wild card race if neither of those teams win their divisions. And this is big. So we have a poll question out, right?
Yeah, put it out there, Rich. It's a reunion weekend. Which one are you most looking forward to this week? Rodgers and Davante Adams, the Chiefs versus the 49ers, Saquon back against the Giants, or tonight, Sean Payton against the Saints.
So go to @RichEisenShow and vote, because there's only four. Couldn't fit this reunion. That's going down across the pond, as a matter of fact. Mac Jones and the Patriots.
Who?
So, Mac Jones, yeah.
Mac Jones might actually get in the game on Sunday.
Stop it. Well, I mean, for the Jaguars, I hope it's as a victory formation for the Jaguars' sake.
Drake May lays a 50-burger on him.
Oh, my God. This guy's feeling so good about himself.
He really is.
All right, let's take a break.
By the way, before we go, do you think that it's going to be hard for Devontae to go from a crib with a golf course and a Taco Bell to just regular apartment?
I have a feeling anybody in New Jersey who could make a Taco Bell appear in his house overnight, I think it's his current roommate. All right, we'll take a great break. Question. Jerry Dulac's going to join us, and then after him, Matt Maiocco. I want to know about the Steelers quarterback situation, and I want to know what's going on with the Niners right before they take the Chiefs. These two top-notch info men back-to-back next. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas. So you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, before we bring in Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh, let's play this soundbite. Justin Fields gave what I think is one of the most mature, A-plus pro answers to the question about his thoughts on potentially losing his starter's gig despite going 4-2. He basically said that he hasn't played to the best of his abilities. Hit it.
I don't think I played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. You know, if I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So, at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that, but, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at, and, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
If he's real with himself, if he had played better, there wouldn't be a question of who should start. And
also sounds like a guy who
knows he's about to lose his job.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is kind of crazy because this is the crux of it. If you're going to be 4-2, and sure, he's left plays on the field. Sure, he said he's not played well enough and that if he did play better, this wouldn't even be a question. Understood. The next guy coming in, he's going to raise the level of what we've already seen because it didn't happen in the end in Seattle or in his 2 years in Denver. And we'll find out if that was circumstance, surroundings, coaching. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. And it's going to be in front of the whole country on Sunday night against the Jets defense that is no slouch.
True.
And so what a plot twist here in Pittsburgh that appears to be forming with Davante Adams returning to a Rodgers huddle. Crazy Sunday night that's forming. Back here on our radio show, Jerry Dulac going to join us in a second. And then after him, Matt Maiocco on the Chiefs and the Niners. We'll get the Niners update on all the injury front there. But let's bring in Jerry Dulac right now, Steelers radio network host and our go-to guy in Pittsburgh. Jerry, we just played a soundbite of Justin Fields sounding like a guy who knows he's about to lose his starter's job. Is that happening in Pittsburgh, Jerry, do you think?
You know, Rich, I was listening to Justin Fields half hour or so ago when he said that. Yeah, I do think he's going to lose his job. I also think he is being a little hard on himself. Because and you've heard me, Rich, in our past conversations, you know, this plot twist is informing. It's been brewing for a long time. And the plan since the offseason that the Steelers spent several months discussing how to be better, how to get into the postseason, how to win a playoff game after 7 years of not doing so, how to become a contender again. They felt they needed to upgrade the quarterback position immediately, and the plan was to do so by bringing in Russell Wilson. And that has always been the plan. And now they feel it's time to execute that plan, that he's healthy. And, you know, go way back to when Mike Tomlin said Russell Wilson was in the pole position. Yeah, he was in the pole position the entire time. And it was always going to be this way. All that being said, I'm just a little surprised that he's doing it right now. But they felt there are, you know, deficiencies in their passing game. You know, they didn't want Justin Fields throwing in the middle of the field. You know, he's not allowed to audible. He can check down. He can check out of a play. But, you know, we shall see how this will all play out. But this was all part of their plan that they spent months discussing. And so they weren't going to let 6 weeks change their mind or change their plan.
So picking up a couple of strands that you had right there, Jerry, that what Russell Wilson can do is something that Justin Fields has not been able to do. And that's their philosophy. That's their thought, that his neck up ability is totality of his resume, to use the phrase that Mike Tomlin used.
Right.
It's going to allow this offense to do more because he is a veteran who's been able to play in a certain way that Fields cannot. Is that, am I picking up on that, Jerry?
I think that's exactly right, Rich. Now, is that going to happen Sunday night against the Jets immediately? Well, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to guess probably not. You know, I mean, let's face it. Russell Wilson's played only six series in the preseason, just one in the final preseason game. So I would imagine there's a certain amount of rust that he has to knock off. But again, if this is what they feel they need to do, and this was their plan all along, then, you know, let's get it rolling. Also, I think what it does to Rich, it helps them identify, and this isn't at the top of the checklist, but it helps them identify what they have at wide receiver. They know what they have at George Pickens, but they have very little else. And so, you know, I learned this a long time ago, and I'm sure you know this, Rich. Great receivers don't make an average quarterback better, but great quarterbacks make average receivers better. And I think having Russell Wilson will allow them to determine what do they have at wide receiver other than George Pickens. We know they've danced with the idea of a number two receiver, Brandon Ayuk. They inquired about Devontae Adams, even though they knew he was only going to go with either Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. They were going to bring in Mike Williams before the Jets gave him a 1-year, $15 million offer before he can ever get to a Pittsburgh. But I think this allows them now with a quarterback to see, okay, yeah, we are lacking at that position, and maybe we need to do something before the trade deadline.
Jerry Dulac here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what have they seen from Russell Wilson to make them think that the let Russ cook Russ of old can be the guy that can get them up to speed for that bulk of their schedule that's all AFC North teams, Jerry?
Yeah, and Rich, the simple answer to that is, well, that's what they're going to find out. But they believe, with his experience going through progressions, reading defenses, and I don't mean any of that as a criticism of Justin Fields, but let's face it, Russ has been in the league 13 years. Justin Fields has been in the league 4. Justin Fields won 10 games in 3 years. Russ is one of the all-time certainly among the active quarterbacks, leaders in victories, if not even passing yards. So I know the question is, okay, is this the same Russell Wilson at 35 that he was at 28? Well, probably not. But the Steelers believe that what they have with him can make them a more well-rounded offense, again, because they were so limited in the passing game. And they limited Justin Fields. It wasn't just because Justin Fields couldn't do it. It's just that they just felt, that maybe this is the way they were going to approach. They managed him very well. A guy who threw 30 interceptions in Chicago has thrown only one in 6 games. And that's not only testament to Justin Fields. That's testament to, with the way they have handled him. They've always asked Justin Fields, don't try to win the game. Just don't lose it. Well, and he's done a pretty good job of that.
And obviously, Tomlin's saying there's a difference between being good and great. That's kind of dovetails into having a quarterback that you say, don't blow it. Let us try and win it. And then hand it to him basically a couple of times and say, do it with your legs. I mean, they're 4-2 in part because of Justin Fields not blowing it, but actually winning it, Jerry. And so that's why are we going to have a package, do you think? Or are they going to just completely move on and hand it to Russ?
Rich, I asked Arthur Smith just a little while ago before I came on with you, if Russell Wilson is the starter, which, of course, it appears to be the case, will you have a package for Justin Fields? And he kind of, laughed it off and said, well, that's all part of strategy, and I'm certainly not going to tell you that. But I go back to what he said, if not the preseason, early in the season. He said he is dangerous with the ball in his hands. And to me, why would you not take advantage of that? We, in certain situations, have a package for Justin Fields. And if nothing else, not that they're interested in soothing somebody's feelings. And, go back to your earlier point. Yes, that was a very mature, responsible answer by Justin Fields. And we have seen that the entire time. He has a cool demeanor. He's somewhat unflappable. And if he's, quote, taking responsibility for his play, which, again, I don't think he needed to do. But that just shows you the way he has handled this entire situation. But I think it would behoove them, give him a package or two, and let him know that, look, one, we appreciate what you did, but two, more importantly, you can help this team in certain situations, and it's a great benefit to us to have, meaning the Steelers, to have him available to help them win games.
Yeah, especially since the last guy who sensed he was losing his job to Russell Wilson said something and put him in green across the state. You know what I mean? And right. So Fields had a completely different answer. If Kenny Pickett had that answer, he might still be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy, Jerry. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the reason Justin Fields is here. And go back to what I said earlier about the plan to bring in Russell Wilson. Justin Fields wouldn't be here if Kenny Pickett didn't throw his hissy fit and demand to be traded once they signed Russell Wilson. And so I think what happened too, Rich, is let's face it, whether nationally, well, especially nationally and out of Chicago, the bar was set so low for Justin Fields. You know, everybody criticizing him for being a bust, 3 years in Chicago, only 10 wins. So the bar was set so low that what he's done here, he's far exceeded the expectations. And that has all played into, you know, who Justin Fields is, or certainly the way he is being perceived, not only locally, but nationally now.
Jerry, you're the man. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Look for more of my calls, certainly after we see Russ Sunday night, right? That's what we're going to see?
Rich,
is it going to happen?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if we didn't. And then, Rich, when you call, I answer.
Jerry Dulac, everybody. Thanks again, brother. You be well.
All right, man.
We'll chat again soon. At Jerry with a G, Dulac, on X, right there on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. We don't have time to take it in because Matt Maiocco's standing by right now. Let's find out what's going on with the 49ers before they take on the Chiefs. Information joining us from NBC Sports Bay Area with the latest on the defending NFC champs before they take on the Chiefs is Matt Maiocco. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. It's Chiefs week, and yeah, that locker room's a little bit different this week because it brings back some bad memories.
Yeah, I know. Fred Warner kind of doesn't even want to talk about it, right? He's like, we're turning the page. It's different team, different year. But I imagine it still lingers, right, Matt?
Oh, there's no question about it. Yeah, it lingers. And, you know, I think the point that Kyle Shanahan is trying to impress upon the locker room is that, you know, nothing changes as far as trying to dial it back from, you know, the second Sunday of February last year. And, you know, Trent Williams says it's another game. You know, that ship has sailed as far as the Super Bowl. And so what they're really trying to do is just kind of keep it in the moment. And in the moment is that the 49ers are 3-3. They're far below expectations at this point, losing a couple of division games that they shouldn't have lost, letting big leads slip away in the second half, which I guess with the Chiefs coming to town, that brings back even more bad memories, of course. But, you know, it really is about, you know, at the end of Sunday, they're either going to be 4-3 or 3-4. And that's kind of the focus, because if they walk off the field at Levi Stadium on Sunday, no one's giving them a trophy. You know, it really is another game when you kind of boil it down to that kind of basic premise.
Well, it just seems to me from my position here, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that this is just like a long runway left in the season. And who they are now and what they are now is not what they hope to be, even with a win over the Chiefs. Later on this season, because McCaffrey's out and other parts of this team that we haven't seen yet, and Ricky Pearsall, we don't know who this team really is just yet. Is that a fair assessment of the Niners right now, Matt?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that, you know, there aren't very many teams that kind of understand that. Obviously, the Chiefs do. But, you know, a team in the NFL in September and October could be completely different than what that team is in November and December and theoretically January as well. And I'll even throw another name at you, Dre Greenlaw. You know, when Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles leaping off of the sideline in the second quarter of the Super Bowl, that was a huge, huge play because he brings such a dynamic presence to that defense, teamed up with Fred Warner. So it kind of really is the long view for the 49ers. I mean, over the past three seasons, they've played a total of 9 extra high leverage playoff games. So, you know, maybe the number one seed maybe that ship has sailed too, when you think that the Vikings have basically a 4-game lead on the 49ers because of head-to-head as well. But when you look at it, 49ers know that there's a lot of season left. And With McCaffrey, with Greenlaw, with Pearsall being acclimated into the system, with them figuring some stuff out under new defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen. Now I think that the focus really is on just kind of building it and using this game probably as a springboard for the rest of the season.
Well, and of course, you know, the Niners have the benefit of this rarity being 3-3, 1-2 in division, but still leading the division. You know, so that's a rarity, and they do have at least that in their back pocket going into this Super Bowl rematch. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's dive into the injured. What's the latest on McCaffrey? When do you expect to see him?
Yeah, so the 49ers have the Chiefs this week, the Cowboys the following week, and then the bye week. I think with McCaffrey, you're probably looking at that being the time where they open that practice window. You know, he's not coming back this week. He won't be on the field. He's eligible to come off of injured reserve, but he has bilateral tendonitis, Achilles tendonitis, meaning both legs. He went to Germany for some treatment. He seems to be responding well to that, but yeah, as we just talked about, it's not about this game or the next game. They want him ready to go late in the season. And, you know, they need him at his best. Again, assuming that they make the playoffs, they want him at his best then. In the meantime, 49ers have gotten really good production out of Jordan Mason. So, you know, there's no big hurry to rush him back out on the field. When he comes back, they want him back for the long haul. And that's the key to this, is not to rush him back and to make sure that he's ready to go for, you know, considerable weeks and through the rest of the season when he gets back on the field.
And what about Mason? Will he go Sunday, do you think?
It's a little iffy. He's been out at practice, limited practice. He's wearing the 49ers put a blue jersey on guys who are kind of have some physical ailments, signifies no contact. I think that's going to be kind of touch and go. He has an AC shoulder sprain, so that thing was really bothering him. He tried to get out there for one snap in the second half, and it wasn't even tackled on that play, and just decided that's not, you know, it wasn't going to work. So the 10 days off certainly is a bonus for him. I think there's a pretty good chance that he's out there based on the fact that he's on the field now and practicing, and the game is still several days away.
And then the wide receiver room banged up, right? Debo's nicked up again. Juwan Jennings didn't practice. So does this mean Ricky Pearsall now becomes a must-have for Sunday, Matt? I mean, what does that mean?
I mean, from what I understand, Ricky's looking good in practice, but they wanted to do kind of a slow ramp up for him. I mean, it was 8 weeks ago that he was shot through the chest, which are, you know, words I've never said before.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. And he's got his range of motion back in that right chest shoulder area. They wouldn't have to make room for him necessarily as far as how do you carve his role into the offense with Jennings kind of being questionable for this game. You know, he could just slide right into the number three spot. So it will really be determined, I think, on how he practices on Thursday, coming off of his first real practice on Wednesday, how he's feeling, how he's picking things up, how he feels physically. So Thursday and Friday will be the determining factors whether he gets a uniform. The 49ers hadn't really planned on him playing Sunday, but I know he wants to get out there. And so we'll see. The biggest voice he has is how he performs on the practice field. That'll be the one that determines what Kyle Shanahan's mindset is going into this game.
So what about Hufanga and Greenlaw, like the long term, two stout defenders at two important levels, clearly, for this defense? Is that possible they return in November, December? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I would say November. Like I said, after the bye week, so there's two more games. So Fonga was placed on IR before the last game, so he would have to sit out one more game after the bye week. And then Greenlaw, you know, he had told me that, you know, he's not coming back until he's ready to come back and he can step in and be the same player he was before he left. So his eyes really, since the Achilles surgery, was to make an impact in the playoffs and to return to the Super Bowl and have a huge impact in the Super Bowl. So that's kind of what the 49ers mindset has been from the offseason program to this point. We all know how difficult it is to get to the Super Bowl. And that's where the 49ers' focus is. It's like, yeah, they're 3-3 in the division, but no one's panicking. I think they did kind of treat that game against Seattle as, Kyle Shanahan's line was, it's not a must win, but it kind of is a must win. That's what he told players. And so they took care of business against Seattle. Like we mentioned, they're 3-3. They're atop the NFC West. They have a lot of season ahead of them, a lot of room for improvement. And then they're kind of taking the small view of this, obviously preparing for every game, but also I think the coaching staff and the medical staff and the front office taking the long view of how do you not only, win the West, get into the playoffs, but have your best team out there and playing your best football for those games that matter once the single elimination tournament starts in January.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, Matt, the idea is get McCaffrey and Hufanga and Greenlaw back in time for the playoffs and win your division. If you can pop up to the 3 seed by doing that, then that's cherry on top. Otherwise, they're going to be maybe the most dangerous 4 seed, right? Or if they don't win their division, the 6-7 seed you don't want to face in the wild card round, like that's. Is that the scenario of their NFC title defense season as we're sitting here right now, Matt?
I think so. I think when you look at the NFC, there's certainly not one team that you look at and go, oh, they're the prohibitive favorite to win this thing. As much as the 49ers wanted that bye that only goes to the number one seed, as much as they wanted home field advantage, an advantage that they rode last year through a couple of kind of rocky games, beating the Packers coming from behind in the second half, doing the same thing, huge deficit against the Detroit Lions. I don't know that any team should feel like it's just overwhelming odds to overcome if you have to go on the road in the NFC. So I think that's where the 49ers are right now. Nobody's talking about the number one seed. So it means they're going to have to play every week of the playoffs. It means that more than likely they're going to have to win one or more road games. So I think that's kind of the mindset where this team is. But I mean, we're talking about January and it's kind of crazy to think about it. I mean, it's still so many weeks away. I mean, 11 more regular season weeks for the 49ers to figure this thing out, both offensively, defensively, and especially special teams where they've really struggled, and then get their players back so that they're a much stronger team in December than they are right now.
Last one for you, Matt. And again, you mentioned Nick Sorensen, the new defensive coordinator, taking over for Steve Wilks, who took over for DeMeco Ryans when he left for Houston, and he took over the position for a guy who's sitting at home right now. And I know I'll ask this question on behalf of a lot of my Niner fan friends. Any Robert Saleh sighting, do you think, in Santa Clara in any way, shape, or form, in any format?
Well, I don't think this season.
Okay.
And the reason I would say that is because I'm sure Robert Saleh, who's still getting, well compensated by the New York Jets, probably has no desire to enter some other team's building and take on, a consultant role or an advisory role. And let's remember that role is already kind of filled. When Kyle Shanahan singled out Nick Sorensen as the guy that he would promote from his staff to the defensive coordinator position, he also interviewed Brandon Staley and was very upfront and said, hey, look, you're not going to be the defensive coordinator here, but I would like you to join the team in kind of a, assistant head coach / defensive role. And so Brandon Staley, in a lot of ways, is already in the role that I think people would be envisioning for Robert Saleh. So we'll see how this season turns out. There are a lot of options down the road, including Nick Sorensen proves that he's the guy, the long-term guy going forward. But I don't think that there's a role right now for Robert Saleh, nor I don't think he would want that role right now.
Matt, thanks for the time and the information. As always, look for more of my calls. Thank you, sir.
All right, Rich. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. That's Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area on the latest with the Niners before their big game with the Chiefs right here on The Rich Eisen Show. So basically, you've got the defending NFC champs who are taking the long view of everything. By the time we hit week 12, 13, 14, we'll be back full strength and we'll hit the ground running. And the Pittsburgh Steelers taking a look at, all right, we're 4-2, but let's use the next month to 6 weeks to see if Russ is the guy. Is that what I'm sensing? And then when they hit, because if you look at their schedule, man, remember the Steelers are the ones that are backloaded with their
division games.
With their division games.
Right.
Division, yeah.
Right? I mean, just real quick, take a look on the screen right there.
All their division games.
They play the next two games nationally televised against New York teams. I'm sorry, Buffalo teams. Teams from New York that play in New Jersey. And that's for you, Hoskins. and our friend in Florida. After the bye, they're at Washington. And then look at all those games. They're at Philadelphia, and they've got Kansas City. Other than that, it's all division. They haven't played a division game yet.
And that's what we had said before the year. They're like, well, they need to be 6-2-ish
when they hit
at the bye week.
Right.
So they have a chance because the schedule is so difficult at the back end.
And then the Niners, it's just like, yeah, I mean, we'd like to be full strength against, Kansas City and Dallas before our bye, but the bye is sitting there. And, you know, let's see if they get through. They win their annual homecoming against Dallas. And then maybe they lose against Kansas City, 4-4 coming out of the bye. Right. And then they start getting healthier at Tampa, home for Seattle. They can sweep Seattle if you think that that's the team that they're going to have to beat to win the division, maybe more than the Rams, who are hoping to get healthy. And those two games at Green Bay, at Buffalo, cold weather games. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That big Monday nighter against Detroit, that could be for something. This just in. But there you go. Good stuff out of our friends, Jerry Dulac and Matt Maiocca. When we come back, everybody needs to duck because Ohtani's ball is still traveling from Queens. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about water and electrolytes. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat, so both need to be replaced to help prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. Now, you might think drinking Beyond Thirst would be a good idea. Nuh-uh. That dilutes blood electrolyte and sodium levels, which could lead to headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. A solution isn't to stop drinking water. It's to drink water plus electrolytes. Enter Element, created by former research biochemist Rob Wolf and Keto Gains founder Luis Villasenor. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients. Also, Element guarantees you find a flavor you love. Try fan favorites, citrus salt or raspberry salt. Get spicy with mango chili or mixed chocolate salt into your morning coffee. Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen to get a free sample pack with any purchase. That's drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a little early. I don't do lunch martinis.
But so you're pouring a martini now into the martini shaker.
I poured just a little in. It looked like there may have been
some ice in
there. You won't complain. Don't send the drink back.
We just need to. The olives are already in the glasses.
Don't bruise it. Some people at home, what about stirring? There's a great bar called the Edmund over on Melrose that you like to stir. I like that. I like to shake a little bit.
So, are you more like Bond, shaken, not stirred, or you're?
I prefer actually bruising the vodka, make it ice cold.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
These are vermouth washed glasses. We have put a little vermouth in there earlier.
Okay,
and then
pouring it out.
Why don't you
take that one.
This is my friend Rich Eisen. Are we toasting? I just want to toast you, seeing you again. You want to toast the Espen, correct?
We are toasting to ESPN's 40th anniversary.
Oh.
There is a big event going on this weekend. My invitation is probably where yours is right now.
Yeah.
So we just figured, why not just do it ourselves?
What a nice thought.
You know what I mean? I haven't seen you in a very long time.
My arm's getting sore.
I know. He goes, I like to toast. I haven't seen you in a long time, Craig, and I've been cultivating this caper to try and get you come on this show. And
you're the only guy. What if I only do your show? I'd love to just do that because I like you're smooth and natural. Did I compliment you? I like Rich.
There you go.
I like Rich.
Okay.
Let me just see what this is because the water, the ice was sitting there.
Cheers to you.
Nice to see you.
Cheers to you. Nice to
finally meet you.
Cheers.
It's watered down. Say anything. It's watered down. But let's pretend it's not. This is what I say at a bar or a restaurant, the Big Four up in San Francisco and Knob Hill. I take a sip. Mm-hmm. I go like this. I go, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainge with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by Mila Kunis, hour two in studio. We have a fun chat with her. Got a great celebrity, true or false, all teed up. Speaking of teeing up.
Oh, are we playing this weekend?
No.
Oh.
Shohei Ohtani, how would he handle his first career postseason? You know, because that's where a lot of folks are wondering. Let's put it this way. We had an inkling.
Well, yes.
But how about these crazy stats? In his first career postseason, in the games against the Padres and the first three against the Mets, nobody on base. Ohtani is yet to come up with a hit.
Zero.
He's 0-for-22 with 11 strikeouts with nobody on base. And
it's weird.
You know, it's kind of crazy. One time he was, because obviously he bats leadoffs, there's a lot of people not on base sometimes.
Yeah.
One time, I believe Kike Hernandez cleared the bases before he got up there with a home run, his 90 millionth one of his playoff career. But unfortunately for the Metropolitans, in a game where it's 4-0, they're thinking maybe we scratch one here, scratch one there. Ohtani stepped to the plate with two men on in the eighth inning, and wait till you hear the stats coming off of this one that Joe Davis nailed the call of on Fox.
He's done with runners in scoring position back to early September. 16 out of his last 19. Typo numbers. There's a towering drive down the line. Ohtani's broken through. It is gone. A majestic home run into the second deck. Guys on base, good things happen for Shohei Ohtani.
That's a good setup for this stat.
Jeez.
Dating back to the final days of the regular season, with runners in scoring position, Shohei Ohtani is 17 for his last 20.
Wow.
17 for his last 20. And before he launched that one, to go 17 for his last 20. The last individual will go 16 for 19 in the runners in scoring position category from regular season into the postseason. Frank Howard did it for the Dodgers in 1962. And that thing was so towering is a perfect word for it. They reviewed it. And I'm like, how can you review it?
How can you tell?
It was like a field goal that goes over the upright.
Exactly.
It went over
you couldn't tell.
Foul pole.
I'm still convinced it was foul.
Well,
I mean,
EJ,
maybe.
Oh my!
We'll never know.
Doesn't matter.
It was such a bomb, and I'm glad that you. This is a sign that you and I have spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
We each had the same joke. You wrote it landed at LaGuardia, and I wrote JFK.
Well, you were right because Cooper was sitting next to me, and he goes, "Dad." Because he whenever something happens and if I ever reach for my phone, he goes, oh, tweet, 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 tweet. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm not.
Drop.
I'm not. But this time I was, and he looked over my shoulder and he says, Dad, hold on a second. After I hit send, he goes, LaGuardia would be over left field.
Yeah.
He actually looked it up.
That's funny. Yeah.
So you are geographically correct in terms of the actual airport that he damn near hit.
It was also literally at the exact same time we made the same joke.
Did.
What would make him think to do that?
I don't know. He's Cooper Rising, man.
How's that go through your mind to be like, which airport is going in which direction?
And sure enough, you know, if you see some of the replies, somebody said the same thing too. And I'm like, do I tell him my 13-year-old beat him to the punch?
Yeah, you got fact checked, Rich. I like it.
Either way. Ball went far.
Yeah, it's still going.
Mila Kunis coming up hour two.
Also, just wanted on the record that I was right.
You were correct.
For once, yes.
You're right.
Brockman.
All right, I'm gonna mention this also, too. So, you know, there's an afternoon game here. It's a rare 5 o'clock Eastern start for the Yankees in the playoffs because the Mets and the Dodgers are playing at night tonight with both LCSs in action. So Coop was going to, you know, I was going to pick him up and we were going to watch the game. And frequently what I like to do with him and he likes to do is he takes his phone and he'll look at the pitch by pitch and do the play by play for me.
Nice.
As I'm driving him around. It's great. I love it. So last night he's just like, how about you pick me up? We do that and then we'll go home and we'll watch the game. I'm like, great. He texted me, you know, hey, Dad, would you mind if I watched the game with my friends instead?
Oh, no.
And I texted Susie. I'm like, it's my Cats in the Cradle moment.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I heard Harry Chapin playing in my ears.
Oh, no.
So I just texted him like, oh, no, Coop, you know, I love you. You know, absolutely go ahead. And
you're like, no, this is our time.
He ended his text with, I love you, Dad, thinking that he would hurt me by...
He did hurt you.
And I felt like saying, when you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
Going to have a good time then, Dude, Dad.
We're going to have a good time.
Honestly, I thought that. It happened.
All jokes aside, I know that got you, man.
This parenting thing is crap sometimes.
Now that brutal. Song's in my head.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do, like, artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.